This is, of course, the interactive portion of the program. We'll take your phone calls, your questions, and your stories as we talk about precognition and synchronicity right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Rob and Trish McGregor with us, their latest work, Sensing the Future, How to Tap into Your Intuition and Read Signs from the Universe to Predict What's to Come. Rob and Trish, do you think people can be trained to have better precognition?
Absolutely. And George, I just want to say one thing. Actually, our newest book is Secrets of Spirit Communication. That's where that story of Whitley and Anne came from.
Okay. Yeah.
You're right. People can be trained. It really helps to be open to the possibility that you can glimpse the future. First of all, if you think it's impossible, then it's not going to happen. So your belief will be proven correct, at least in that case. So it really helps if you're interested in the mysteries of the unknown, the paranormal. And do you remember your dreams? Remembering and recording dreams is a good point to start, because that's the easiest way to tune into future events and synchronicities that you wouldn't normally encounter during, or even spirit contact that you wouldn't encounter during your waking life. And just watching for signs that appear, you know, often
like that bee.
Yeah, often, you know, something startling, a vase falling or crashing or something that might key you into something that's coming up in your life. And so awareness is really a big part.
How important is meditation in trying to pull out these abilities?
Well, meditation allows you to step aside from the everyday world and to tune out all the chatter, the internal dialogue, and pick up something that is not actually coming from your thoughts, but coming from outside of your thoughts, and being able to distinguish the two is important, and that's through practice of meditation. You learn to do that.
Let's take some calls here for both of you. Let's go to Joe in Monterey, California, to get us started. Joseph, go ahead.
Hi, guys. I've got some great stories, but I have a really good question or something to stoke the fire.
All right.
Dream interpretation. I use dream interpretation, and it is a good method to interpret the physical dream and synchronicity. You could delve beyond synchronicity to understand the meaning of the synchronicities, that they are always happening, and it's like life is speaking to you. And one other thing, the inner and the outer becomes one, and that's an incredible synchronicity. Wendy?
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. Another thing, as far as creating synchronicity, I went to dinner with a few friends, and I said, you know, if we agree upon certain things to happen, they may happen. So we went out as a group to dinner, and we agreed upon about three or four different things that would happen. And those things, more or less, came true because we agreed upon it. And that's another way of manifesting and having this synchronic world respond.
Give us one.
You also had an intention, which is important.
Yeah, intention's critical, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, intention. And one of the things that we suggest people do is to ask a question and then just go out into the world and look for the first thing that comes to you, whether it's somebody on the radio who says something,
or a song,
or something you see, and see if you can interpret the symbol to answer your question.
Joe, why don't you tell us one of your stories? Go ahead.
Well, okay. I was at a seminar, and they had different books and posters and stuff, and I picked up a poster because I wanted the poster. But I picked it up in French, and I didn't realize it was in French. Oh, this is much better. So I'm going home with a bunch of friends, and we picked up a stranger because he was coming into Manhattan. And she said, you know, I wish I could have gotten a poster, a certain type of poster, but all the ones in French were out. And I said, well, you know, I guess this belongs to you then.
Oh, that's
and,
a good one.
She was blown away. Yeah. Sometimes I don't question what I do, and I realize, okay, this is not for me. I'm holding it for someone else. And if you wait long enough, yeah, it happens.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's good.
Okay, one last thing. Okay, I was having dinner with my friend, and we had Chinese food, and we were going to watch the fireworks. This is in Manhattan. And we had Chinese food, and they give you a piece of fruit, an orange. So they said, you know something? We're going to hold on to this fruit, and we're going to give it to a spiritual master, a spiritual being. So we went, we watched the fireworks on the drive, and we were standing there, and the throngs of people were going back and forth, and there was somebody standing behind us. And he was selling incense and stuff, and we turned to him, and he looks at us and says, see, you've been working on your spiritual eye, because I could see it opening and closing. And I says, are you some kind of a master? I says, yes, I'm a Sufi master. I says, well, then I guess this orange belongs to you.
You're the guy who goes around the universe giving people things. That's pretty cool.
Give it to him. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate that. It is remarkable when it works, Robin Trish, how good it works.
The thing is, interpreting some of these things sometimes, because there are trickster synchronicities.
Oh, really? Like what?
Well, like, okay, for instance, a few years back, I was writing a novel, and I thought, okay, I want to make this a time travel novel. And Rob and I were at a Scottish festival, and there was a rack of shirts that looked kind of cool. So I looked at the label on one of them, thinking it had been made elsewhere, and it said, Time Travel, Ecuador. Well, Ecuador was where my book was taking place, and I wanted to do time travel. So I thought, got really excited. I thought, okay, here's my confirmation from the universe. And my editor didn't want a time travel book, so I didn't do it.
Yeah.
So that's a trickster.
Right. I have another trickster one, too. A number of years ago, I was on that show, UFO Hunter, as being interviewed. And after the interview, the crew decided to see if we could get into the we're on Andros Island, and where there's a secret Navy base where there may be UFO related projects. It's called sometimes called Underwater Area 51, and so we wanted to see if we could get in to talk to the commander, get an interview. The producers had been calling and calling, trying to set up something, but they didn't come back and say no. They just never responded. So we started going up. We were in this Jeep, and we parked about 100 yards away and started walking with all the equipment, camera equipment. And suddenly two police cars come, and they block the entrance by, instead of pointing towards the gate, they point towards each other. That didn't look good. Then this black helicopter lifts off from behind the gate and hovers right over our heads, making all this noise. And we thought, I think it's time we get out of here. So we were never able to make that contact. Then 5 months later, I'm across on the west side of Florida. We live on the east side of Sarasota, and are helping our daughter set up her dormitory room and starting college. I think it was her second year. And Trish and I decided to go downtown and have a drink and dinner, and we went to this bar that had live music, and it was outside, and there was all the tables were filled except for one table, high top. There were two seats, and we asked the people, could we sit here? And so we joined them. They said, sure. Start talking to them, and this is a mind blower. The guy across from me is the commander of the base of AUTEC. He retired.
Jeez.
He had been the commander in April. This was September. He had been the commander in April. And so I started telling him about being there and trying to get into the base, and he's listening to this story about UFOs and such, and he looks at his girlfriend and says, I need another drink. and then the music is kind of interrupting us, and so he scribbles down his email, and he says, write me. Here's the trickster. I lost his email, and I was
never able to
contact the guy. Oh, that was so frustrating. I mean, He seemed,
maybe he's listening in tonight, and he'll get it to you.
Yeah, that'd be good. He even asked us if we wanted to go to another place with him and his girlfriend, another bar, and and we just blew it.
Now that would be weird, though, if he was listening to the show and gets a hold of you.
Yeah,
we'll let you know.
Yeah, that's how synchronicity really works. Thomas in La Jolla, California. Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
George, thank you for taking my call. Rob and Trish, great information. You know, Rob, Trish, I think that too often, maybe me, maybe the audience, we think of precognition, synchronicity as passive. In other words, it happens to us. Yeah. But is it just possible that we can create personally our own synchronicity, our own opportunity, our own precognition? Give you an example.
I think it is possible because, you know, if you think again about quantum physics, we really live in a universe of no time. You know, it's just our linear thinking that keeps us rooted in the present, or look to the past, or look to the future. I think anybody can tune into the future at any point.
But we've had arguments about this question, whether you can create synchronicities, because then isn't that cause and effect if you're creating it? You know, so, and synchronicity exists outside of cause and effect. So, but then if you pose a question and just look for symbols and that, that's a little bit different and
more active.
Yeah.
Trish, you had said earlier there's basically you have to be careful of some tricksters in this in this realm. I mean, what is their agenda to do something like that?
You know, I'm not sure. I don't think trickster synchronicities are evil or bad or anything. I think they just kind of play with you.
They're warning. They can be warnings.
Yeah,
little mischief makers.
Yeah.
Right. But they can also be warnings, you know. But, I mean, I was so thrilled that I found this time travel shirt in Ecuador. And, you know, I thought, wow, this is the place, this is the direction I should go. And then it turned out it didn't work. And I told this to Bernard Bateman, who also is a synchronicity, he's a psychiatrist at University of Virginia, who talks about synchronicity and is researching. And he said, well, you know, it could be the editor was wrong. So.
By the way, Peter Lavenda wrote a little clip on your new book, Secrets of Spirit Communication, and he's a home run all the time, isn't he?
Oh, he's great.
Yeah, he's something else.
In fact, we met up with him and Whitley in a town of Casadega, which is a town of mediums, where everybody talks to the dead.
Yeah, it's a spiritualist community in Central Florida. That was an interesting weekend with those two.
Can people. You feel the energy there, down there?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would think so.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, Mary's in New Jersey and now on Coast to Coast. Hi, Mary. Go ahead.
How is everybody? This is going to sound strange. I don't know if it's my brain working overtime.
On this program, Mary, nothing's strange.
Well, I moved in 1989, all right? It's not me knowing the future. It seems like the neighbors know the future. This one person that came over to chop up my steps, and I called the police, and I said, get them away, and they refused me. And 4 days later, they came to my house and said, we're giving an arrest warrant for you for bothering him, which they said they were going to New Egypt. I'm not anywhere near New Egypt. So then they won't leave me alone. They kept trying to put me in pulling me into court and all. One day I go up the steps to court and it's closed, and I go across the street to a restaurant run by a person from Egypt, and they're all huddled around the TV, and I thought, well, why are they watching a movie? And that's the day they were flying the airplanes into the Twin Towers. I live in a tall twin house, and it just seems like these people know the future, not me. And then there's another instance, right? I moved in there with one cat, one dog. I had the dog catcher police at my house every day for a cat. And yet the same person who chopped my steps had 10 cats in his yard at all times because he said all the wildlife, right? So now, somehow, my mother broke her leg in 96. And I don't know how did they know down the line I would have cats in there, all right? She broke her leg. She told me not to leave her. She's in bed a year and a half. She was in her 80s when she broke her leg. And everybody coming in to help my mother would let this one female cat out that we had at this time. And she'd go next door and with all the 10 cats and whatever. And at the end of the time, I had a lot of cats in there. Now, here's another one, because they broke in to take the cats out, and they had a paper in their hand that says, kill them as soon as you get them. And they put a barrel in front of my mother's bed, the hospital bed, and had one police down one end and one police down the other end. And this little girl, she's a Puerto Rican police officer, she says, you put a curse on me. I said, what do you mean I put a curse on you? She says, you put a curse on me. She says, I said, look, if you're doing evil, and you know you're doing evil, and you keep doing evil, you put a curse on yourself. Now, my name's Mary, and then it was a couple of years later, but they had that Hurricane Marie going through Puerto Rico.
Maria. Mm-hmm.
And then there's another one, because they knew I had cats in there again, and they came to take them. And my daughter said, well, how many did you find? She wouldn't tell her. She says, come on, tell me, how many was it? She said, 17. And that just stuck in my head. And then I hear this, it's like a real dark story. And then I hear 17 people killed in Florida.
Jeez.
It's just like every time they attack me, it's something really dark happens.
Leave Mary alone.
Really?
It's like really dark.
Bottom line. Which brings up an interesting question. Not that Mary does that on purpose, but are there some people out there, Rob and Trish, that have this innate ability to do evil through the metaphysical world?
Well, I think Aleister Crowley proved that.
I think that, you know, there are people who program to do things that maybe they don't think it's evil to them, but it is to the person they're doing it to.
Yeah, maybe revenge or, you know.
Or even trying to... people who will try to do spells to break up a marriage or get people back together. And if the one person doesn't want to get back together, you know, that's not a good thing. So, you know, it's, yeah, there is that, which is, you know, dark energy.
The latest book, of course, with Rob and Trish McGregor, including Sensing the Future and Synchronicity on the Other Side, is Secrets of Spirit Communication. How do you get that book, Trish?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble should be carrying it.
Great. And what else are you working on these days?
A book called Visions.
Visions?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Which is a common sense guide to common paranormal experiences.
And what website would you like people to direct themselves to?
Probably our blog, because that's where we post most of our stuff, and that's blog.synchrosecrets.com.
Okay, and we've got the website for Synchro Secrets linked up at coasttocoastam.com as well. We're going to come back in just a moment here and take final phone calls with regards to precognition, the spirit world, and so many other things you've heard right here on Coast to Coast AM. We are back with Rob and Trish McGregor, final segment, noted authors, including Secrets of Spirit Communication. Trish, what do these spirits want to do with us anyways? What are they trying to communicate?
Well, sometimes I think it's just they're trying to comfort us. You know, it's like, okay, everything's cool. You know, I'm in the afterlife and I'm fine. I mean, for years, I used to follow my parents' progress to the afterlife in dreams.
Mm-hmm.
My mother died of complications from Alzheimer's. My dad died from complications of Parkinson's.
That's
so
nice.
I over the years, I watched my mother go from a walker in afterlife to a much younger woman who was vibrant and happy and, you know, same with my dad.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things. Trish is right that the loved ones that contact us, they're telling us that they're fine, not to worry. But it's also just about simply awareness to make us aware that life continues. Or the other thing is the possibility of finishing a task that was left incomplete. For example, like maybe there was some buried money that was not revealed before the person died. Like the example in the movie Ghost with Demi Moore.
And Patrick Swayze, yeah.
Patrick Swayze, right.
That movie seemed to depict things pretty accurately. I mean, in 110 minutes.
And Whoopi Goldberg. She was good.
Whoopi Goldberg, Whoopi Goldberg. Right? She was great.
She was great.
You know, do spirits sometimes communicate like that? I mean, are they all around us?
Oh, I think so.
I think it's a very thin veil. They're right here, but we just are, you know, not aware. Some of us are more aware than others. And when Whoopi Goldberg, she was kind of a fake psychic who became a real psychic.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. She got caught.
Yeah,
she did.
Let's go to Richard in Lima, Ohio. Hey, Rich, welcome back to the program. Go ahead.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I have proof that we are communicated with spirits, by spirits, and in a very interesting episode in my life, going back to 1957, in Albany, Georgia.
What happened?
I was in the service, and three of my buddies and I were out on a night on the town. And we spent almost all of our money, but we wanted to stop and get breakfast before we sober up a little bit, before we got back to base. So we stopped in this all-night diner, and they had a 99-cent breakfast special. You know, two eggs, toast, and coffee for 99 cents. We pooled our money. We had exactly $4, not one penny more. We didn't even have enough for a tip. And so we pooled our money, mostly quarters, and right there in the middle of the table, and we ordered our breakfast. And the minute I saw those quarters, my eyes went over to the cash register, because I knew the place well, and I knew that they had a punch card lotto that they would try and talk you into playing for a quarter a punch. And there was an old one over there with a few punches left and a brand new one unpunched. And those things had between 5,000 and 10,000 punches in them, something like that.
Wow.
And so a window opened up in my mind, and it said, take 50 cents and go punch. And so I said, Miss, the waitress, I said, can I go punch out of the new card? And she said, well, I don't know, why not? And I said, okay, and I grabbed two quarters, and I got up, and my friends went crazy. They said, Richard, you're gonna get us both all thrown in jail here, because we're not going to have enough money for our breakfast.
Which you ordered already.
And I said, relax. Believe it or not, I know what I'm doing.
You knew what was going on.
And they said, yeah, you're going to get us all in Article 15. And I walked over, and I gave her the 50 cents. I looked over to my friends, not even looking at the punch card, and punched a punch. And the waitress caught it before it hit the floor and unrolled it and says, Holy Mother of God, he did it. I punched a $25 grand prize out of a brand new unpunched
card. Wow, a lot of breakfasts.
Without even looking at it. And I told the guys, I said, pick your money up. Breakfast is on me. And I gave our waitress a real nice tip, and had a couple dollars left over for gas to get back to the base truck.
You knew you were going to win, didn't you?
Yes, I was told. And I was told that all I had to do was pick those quarters up, and as soon as I did, the future was set.
It really was. And by the way, Richard, thank you for serving. I appreciate that.
Oh, of course. Thank you for recognizing me. It was a pleasure to serve my country.
What a great story, Rob and Trish, huh?
That's a case of following your impulses.
Yeah, it sure is.
It's that that sense that comes to you, and even though it's crazy, like in this case, the guy was going to not have enough money to pay for breakfast if he just threw it away on this punch card, but he just had that impulse. He knew it was going to happen. It was just a sense of certainty. That's what it is. Like when I knew that cat was going to come back by midnight Saturday. It's just that certainty, that crazy.
It's that feeling. Yeah. It's like a burning in your gut. You know, you just have to honor it.
You just know.
Yeah.
It's like being in the groove.
Yeah. Yep. That's exactly exactly what it is.
But again, what puts
people who won lotteries that way?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
They dream in the numbers and they say, okay, I'm gonna go play these numbers, and they win $150,000. You know.
But what makes it happen? I don't think we have the answer for that, do we?
I don't think we do either. But the answer may be irrelevant. You know, the why and how it happens may be irrelevant. The fact that it does is
Or maybe that's the most important thing of all.
Yeah, maybe so. That's true. Rob and I argue about this a lot.
We've got Judy in Paducah, Kentucky, first-time caller. Hi, Judy.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed listening to the show. And I wanted to tell you about a precognitive dream that I had when I was younger.
Okay.
When I was a young girl, I was horse crazy, to say the least. I wore out two rocking horses, and a horse was about the first word out of my mouth as a baby. And when I was 12 years old, my grandmother finally bought me my first horse. And that horse and I literally grew up together.
Wow.
And we were together constantly. Every afternoon at 3:30, he would come to the front of the pasture in the corner and stand there and wait for me to get off the bus. And he would have a temper fit if I didn't. But he knew when it was summer because I was already up and gone on him all day. But I had had him for about 13 years, and one night, which made him only 16, which is not old for a horse.
No, not at all.
And I had a dream one night. And I don't remember all of the particulars of it. I just remember that, and this horse's name was Andy. And I just remember that waking up with tears in my eyes because he had died.
Mm-hmm.
And I went downstairs to find my mother. And my dad had just come in, walked in from the barn from feeding the horses. And he said, there's something wrong with Andy.
Oh.
And I don't even think I said a word. I just went running out to the barn. And he was very, very ill for 3 days. The vet could not figure out what was wrong. He'd made several trips out there. And after the third day, he died.
Oh, my gosh. And that's young for a horse, 13 years.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, my whole family was just devastated. Because this horse had become more like a dog. He would protect people, and we just knew what each other was thinking.
But you knew in your dream something was wrong.
I knew in my dream that something was wrong and that he was going to die.
See, I think that some precognitions like that one prepare you, you know, so that it's shocking, but it does somehow prepare you for what's about to happen.
And again, though, Trish.
I know. It's the ultimate question.
What causes the dream? My daughter had a 9/11 dream. We didn't know what it was at the time, but it was about a week or two before the tragedy. But she dreamed that she was walking through a huge skyscraper-stacked city, and volcanic ash was falling on her.
Oh, wow.
And she said, Dad, I'm in 6 inches of ash. And what major city is near a volcano? That's what we thought.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be, when we saw, you know, the actual tragedy occur on 9/11 with the planes going into the towers and then the subsequent collapse and the dust and everything, she went, oh, my God, that was it. That was it was New York. And so she literally was in that picture of the tragedy.
There were a lot of precognitions about 9/11.
Yeah. I had one where we were in that town I mentioned earlier, Casa Dago, with the mediums, and I was having a reading with one of the mediums, and he was thinking he was focusing on my life, but this was 2 weeks before 9/11. He says, I see two great explosions from up above, and everything in your life, everything is going to be changed from that point on. And he wasn't tuning on me personally. He was tuning on on the great mass event of 9/11, the two great explosions, and how everything did change after 9/11.
We've got Josh in Nevada City. Welcome to the program in California. Hi, Josh.
Hey. I want to know what your guests think about this.
All right.
This is about 2017, about the beginning of 2017. There was this issue with the Oroville Dam. I don't know if you recall this. But
I vaguely do, yeah.
It happened. I had to go out to Oroville. I live about an hour away from there. And I had to go out there, and to really make a long story short, I've never been to the dam before, and for some reason on that day, I had lived over in that area for about 3 years, and not until this day where I didn't even live over near there anymore did I choose to, for some reason, go to visit the dam with my dogs. So I went and I looked at the dam, and I kept thinking, wow, this dam is really crazy looking. It looks like it could just give way because it's just made out of the ground. It's an earthen dam. And I wondered about it, and it had been raining a lot that year. It was the 2016 to 2017 winter, and it was the year that it just rained and rained and rained. We got so much rain and snowfall, and I just knew that the water level in the dam was extremely high, and I had all these thoughts like, wow, wouldn't it be crazy if this dam just, it just kept raining, and it got so high that the dam just broke and flooded the whole town. So then I just went on with my day, and it was raining that day, of course, because it was in the rainy season. And I went to go see the person who I had come over to Oroville to see, and it turned out it was a horrible experience I had with this person. And I ended up, I've never spoken to her again, and it was so bad, I got into a terrible argument with her boyfriend, and he was, like, threatening me with a weapon, and, they followed me out of the house, and, they kind of, robbed me. It was the craziest thing that happened. And so as I drove away from Oroville, I remember thinking to myself, I can't stand this town. I hate this place, and I hope that that dam does break. It just overfills and it floods the whole town because the whole town is cursed, and that God should punish this town because it's just full of, you know, bad people. And 5 days later, they announced on the news that the dam was possibly going to rupture, and everybody there, and I'm sure her and her boyfriend also were part of the people, had to evacuate, and it caused a major havoc in their life. And I started almost like feeling guilty in a way. And so I was wondering what you think about that, and also how maybe the law of attraction could play into some of all of this.
He might have made that happen, Trish and Rob. What do you think?
Now, what I think is that there are people who pick up on mass events, and they do it in different ways. For him, for you, it was your thoughts when you're standing there looking at the thing. You were feeling what was going to happen. You certainly didn't cause it.
Well, maybe he did. I don't know.
He might have.
I think so.
He might have.
That would have to be. Well, okay, if you did that, I have some things I'd like to talk to you about.
Sometimes, unwittingly, you can do stuff like that.
Yeah.
You never know. We've only got about a minute left. Rob and Trish, let's first of all, you, Trish, tell us about the books and where you can get them.
Amazon is probably the best spot, Barnes & Noble as well. Secrets of Spirit Communication and Sensing the Future, which is about precognition. Plus, they have a bunch of other books on synchronicity that are all available.
All right. And Robbie, the websites.
Websites, Rob McGregor at...
Dot Buzz.
Excuse me, Rob McGregor dot Buzz for me. And Trish?
TrishJMcGregor.com.
And we've got it all linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. Thank you both for being on the program. Do keep in touch with us. Their latest book is called Secrets of Spirit Communications. I'm going to be heading off to Denver for our Beyond Belief taping this weekend. Richard Serrett sitting in for me tomorrow night. I shall be back Monday. We've got some great shows scheduled for you for the entire week, so just stay with us. Jimmy Church on Saturday and Sunday. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Badal, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.